Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. Also be reading a passage from Acts, chapter 4. The Acts of the Apostles is really the beginning of the church. And after Christ had died, rose again from the dead, ascended back into heaven, then he established his church, filled them with the Holy Spirit, and sent them out to minister the gospel and to take the message of the cross to the ends of the earth, which we're still doing today until he returns. That's what we will do. Amen. But let's notice the word of God, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he presented himself alive. Amen. Everybody say alive. He's still alive. After his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not in many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to the Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth," the ends of the earth. Amen. Two pages over in my Bible. Chapter 4, verse 29. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray, Lord, that you would instruct us in righteousness, as only your Holy Spirit can do. Move through this place, I ask you, Lord, as you wish. Touch our hearts, bring understanding to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Talk to you about the power of Pentecost today. Pentecost was a feast that the Jews went to every year, and this was it. And something happened different on this day of Pentecost, though. Amen. So, let's focus upon the 8th verse of the 1st chapter, which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Okay, so the power of Pentecost. Amen. In our culture here, Americans like power. We like strong and powerful football players. Amen. You'll see it today if you turn your television on, probably. You'll see two muscle-bound behemoths try to decapitate each other at the goal line, just so you can say after it's done, "We won." Okay. Americans love powerful automobiles. Now we want to have emphasis on the word now. Now we want to have a powerful military again. However, there is a power we cannot create by human means, and that is spiritual power. The power to deliver people who are addicted from sinful things, from sinful habits, things too strong for the natural man. Power to heal people of all of life's continual hardships, heartaches, emotional struggles, and behavioral issues. It takes someone greater than me and you. It takes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It takes the power of God. And Jesus, when he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you," he did not mean that they would by themselves do things that nobody else could do, but he simply mean when you're empowered by God the Holy Spirit, God will do wonders and signs among you. God will do what no human being can ever do. When a person is born again of God's Spirit, that is nothing humanity can do. In humanity, in our carnal way, we can get people to say sinner's prayers. We can get people to say fancy things and read prayers out of the book of prayer. But when it comes to being born again of God's Spirit and changed and made a new creation in Christ, old things are passed away and all things become new. That is an act of God, and it takes Him to do it. And so, well, I'm thankful that God is greater. The Apostle John, in his first of the general epistles that he wrote, he also wrote the book of John, too. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 4 Johns. Same guy. And he said, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome Him, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." I'm glad today that we're worshiping somebody who's greater than me and greater than you and greater than us. And God sent His Holy Spirit to the church. Not that we could so be better than everybody, not that we could jump around and speak in tongues so everybody think we're weirdos. They can think whatever they think. I'm sure we've been accused of more than weirdos. But anyway, I thank God for speaking in tongues, and I do speak in tongues. I do, if you ever wondered. I pray in God's Spirit, God overflows me, and I speak, worship Him in a language not naturally learned. And so, that is not a boast. That is something that God has given. Like salvation, it's not something we earned. But Jesus' last command before He went to the Father's right hand, and He would go, just before He would visibly ascend into heaven, He told His disciples, He said, "Behold, now I send the promise of My Father upon you. But tarry or wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed, endued with power from on high." And so Jesus promised to send His Holy Spirit to here to walk with the disciples, to walk with you and I. Amen. And I don't believe in a gospel where that God did wonderful things just until the apostles died. But I tell you something, friend, God is doing wonderful things right now. There are places where Book of Acts miracles are happening today. And I thank God that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He was able to do then, He's still able to do now. What He had, the much that He loved people then, He still loves people with the same love today. And God still cares and still performs great and mighty things. When Jesus came to this earth, He came to deal with sinful humanity. I'm glad that He did. You know, a lot of people never get things done because they just don't deal with the problem. Amen. Don't look at your neighbor. But anyway, when Jesus came to announce what He was here to do, it's amazing that He told the people in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, a scripture that I love. And Jesus was telling him, He didn't just come to be a popular figure in society. He didn't come to perform miracles to get attention. He didn't come to be number one on TBN. Don't take that wrong. I didn't mean to cut by that, but I guess it was. But anyway. But He said, "I've come for this reason." He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised or oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And this is what Jesus came to do, because we live in a culture today, in a society, and it's always been like this, where people need somebody greater than them to do work in their life. They need a spiritual work done in their life. And I'm glad that God would have mercy upon us. God would have mercy upon you and I as sinners and send His Son to redeem us from sin, but also send His Holy Spirit after that to lead and guide and direct our paths, where we may live a life for Him, not just be religious for a moment, but to live a life for Him, a continued experience. And so Jesus came to deal with sinful humanity. Without God, hope quickly fades. If you were to leave here today and say, "Well, I'm saved and that's it, but I don't need God for now until I get ready to die." Oh, how mistaken you are. I need God now and every day, not just when I'm trying to preach. I need God when I'm doing everything. But without hope and without God, anything good quickly fades away. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And you say, well, a brokenhearted person, just somebody that's feeling sorry for themselves. Well, that may be true in some cases, but not always. But there are people that are brokenhearted today, and people are torn apart. There are broken families. There are children today that wish that somehow or another they could have their mom and dad back together and have things like the way they used to be when they were born. And I'm not running anybody down, but I'm saying there are broken things in our world. There are brokenhearted people, things people wish they could fix, and people are hurting and people are suffering today because this world is still full of problems. Society has failed to have the answer for much of anything, and when God is right here with an open arm and saying, I've got the answer for everything. There are people whose lives are broken, and sin has no favorites. It wants to destroy godly things and godly people. The enemy of your soul comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to make a wreck of your life, make your life miserable in this life, and he sure wants to take you to hell when it's all over with. But I can tell you there's a God in heaven who loves and cares and knows and answers prayers and put value upon your soul, and he said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. He said, I've come to bring deliverance to those that are bound and captive to things they can't get rid of. He said, I've come here to set you free. For whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. How dare we try to face today's challenges without God's help? We can't. But if we can be filled with the Spirit, amen. God through us can. Amen. God doesn't need me and you, but he chooses to operate through humanity. The power of Pentecost. First of all, it means great power to give witness. Acts 4:29, and with great power they gave witness to the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Was that verse 29, I think? But that power was demonstrated on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given to believers as the church began. Power to give testimony to this same Jesus is able to save you, is able to fill you, is able to empower you, is able to give you what you need and what it takes to walk this life and to live in a victorious life in the faith. Amen. And so we know that the day of Pentecost came. The Lord. It's God. Acts 1 and 4. And being assembled together with them, this is Jesus there, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Or John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This was a promise of the Father. And verse 6, I wish people would get a hold of sometimes. Therefore, when they ask him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Let me tell you something, friend. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to people trying to figure out what day or what hour Jesus is coming. I just know he's coming, and I believe he's coming today. So that's why we need to live like he is. For he may. It may be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, maybe 10 minutes from now, but we're to be ready, and nobody's going to know the day and the hour, not even the Son, but the Father only, not even the angels of heaven. If God didn't tell his own Son when he walked upon this earth, and he didn't tell any of the angels, you really think he's going to tell you and me? God alone knows. We're to live for God like he's coming today because he may come today. We have no promise of tomorrow. It may be the day that we enter into eternity today, and God is in charge forever. So let's live for him now like he's coming today, because he may. Praise the Lord. And so we know that the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. If you can bear with me just a moment. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them divided tongues like as a fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And so we know the Holy Spirit came. That wasn't the end of it. What did they say? What did they speak? The Bible tells us what they spoke. Amen. They heard, every man heard in his own language being spoken the wonderful works of God. They spoke in languages they had not naturally learned. But through the Holy Spirit, this message of the gospel was communicated to them, because they said, how is it we hear everyone in our own language speaking the wonderful works of God? That was the interpretation. They spoke the wonderful works of God, and the people understood. Hallelujah. God still pours out his Spirit, baptizes people in the Holy Spirit with the same initial physical evidence as he did then. He calls his people to worship, speak in a language not naturally learned. Speaking in tongues is what we call it. But you see, this life-changing power must be given to the lost. And we want people to be saved around this world. But we also want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit so they can have power to live this life. And I know when you're saved, you're birthed and born again of God's Spirit, and you're indwelt by the Spirit from that moment on. But there is more. There is a baptism in the Holy Spirit that empowers a person to serve the Lord and to spread the gospel and to live an overcoming, victorious life. But this life-changing power must be given to the lost. And what comes first is salvation, amen. And to hurting humanity, it is the only message that can reach the heart and the soul of humanity is that of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And Paul puts it this way to the church at Corinth. He says, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. And that simple message is preached has drawn thousands into the kingdom of God simply by the message God says, if you'll come and confess me as Savior, if you'll believe that I died for your sins on the cross, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Thank God for the gospel. This gospel, which means good news, it's good news for the hell-bound sinner. It's good news for the addict. It's good news for the prostitute. Amen. You may not like it, but it's still, it's good news for the lesbian. It's good news for the homosexual. It's good news for the porn addict. There is freedom, and it takes God to set people free from that stuff. But God can do it. Hallelujah. What did God set you free of? He set you free from whatever sin was controlling your life when you came to Christ. You can say my sin wasn't that bad or wasn't as bad as somebody else's. But let me tell you something, friend. If you're not saved, you're on your way to hell regardless how big or small you consider your sin to be. But if you're born again of God's Spirit, you're on your way to heaven. You're on your way to eternal life. And that's the only place we want to end up, is in eternity with God. Let me give you this illustration. Heard Marvin Gorman years ago. I believe he's repented now. He knows the Lord. I don't know. And all that stuff when Swaggart and Gorman were having problems back in the 80s. Let's forget that. But I remember he preached at district council one time, not a few years after that. And he told of his church down in New Orleans. Powerful church. Powerful speaker. Powerful man of God that God used powerfully. But he tells a story of a woman coming to Christ that many people would have rejected. But he said he was in his church one Sunday morning. No, it was on a Sunday evening. You know, back when they had church on Sunday evening. That wasn't in the notes. But anyway, he said he was late getting in. He said I had 15 minutes or had 30 minutes before church. He said, I told my wife, I said, call me in 20 minutes. I don't want to talk to anybody. Don't do nothing until for 20 minutes. He said he laid in there before God, and God poured into his soul and his heart that what he was supposed to preach that night. He said, I walked in the church, walked to the platform, got up on the platform, and said a lady walked in the back door. This is going to date this a little bit. He said she had the hottest hot pants a person could ever buy. She was a streetwalker. She was a prostitute. Walked right into his service. And you know, a lot of times these people, she didn't take the back seat. She walked all the way to the front. To the awe of so many self-righteous. And he said, a lady came to him, said, we can't let people like that come in the church or I'll leave. Later on, he said, she didn't leave. Said, you never get rid of that kind anyway. But he said, I preached, gave the altar call, and she was the first one on the altar. She was tired of her life of sin. She didn't try to tell everybody how good she was, and she had some good things too about her. She didn't tell that. She said, I need Jesus. And she gloriously prayed through to God. Got saved, born again of God's Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Said she came back the next service a totally different person. She had dressed up or down. However you do it. Anyway, she had presentable clothes on. She was born again of God's Spirit. Many times we hear that story and we think, well, that was the end of it. In a few days, they go back to what they were, and some do. But she stayed with it and never missing a service. 2 years later, she took up the WM group. She was appointed to it. And God used her life from then on as a powerful witness of the gospel and winning souls and motivating people to stay on track and to serve God. That's what God can do to a person. It takes God to do that, and thank God that He still does that. Hallelujah. And here I am 10 years, 20 years later talking about this illustration that I heard that I know that was true, and I'm still excited about it. Hallelujah. Because God still does the same things today. God still gives power to proclaim His word. And thing we're becoming more familiar with here in the States is that the persecuted church. I'm going to stay on this for a minute because it's important. The church today is not the first church that's been persecuted. They were persecuted from the word go from Jerusalem. Not everybody liked their message of salvation. No, not everybody liked their Jesus talk. Nobody ever, not everybody agreed with them that Jesus was the one and only Messiah, the Son of God. Many didn't believe that. And they gathered together and they talked to the apostles and the chief priests and Pharisees, they got together. And they said, we've got to stop these guys. And they commanded them not to preach or speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And the early church did whatever church should do, and they began to have a prayer meeting. Thank God for prayer meeting. We had more than two last night. Thank you for coming out to pray, to worship God. Hallelujah. Acts 4:23, and being let go when they went to their companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God and with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And they began to pray to God. Verse 4:27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do what your hand whatever your hand or your purpose determined to be done before. Their prayer. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Not, Lord, give us a good place to hide. But anoint your servants with boldness to speak your word. Lord, also we'd like for you to stretch out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. Answer to prayer comes immediately here. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spake the word of God with boldness. God answered a prayer immediately there. It didn't always answer immediately, but He always answers. Praise God. The church had come under great persecution because they preached that Christ is the Son of God. They preached the resurrection from the dead. They preached that Jesus was coming back. And they preached judgment was coming for those that didn't accept Christ. I want to tell you that first church preached heaven pure and hell really hot. Amen. Because you see, the devil does not like to give up territory. He doesn't like to give up souls. And you as a spirit-filled believer, you're a threat to the enemy. You say, well, I don't want to be a threat to anybody. My church, get over it. You are a threat to the enemy. Be glad to be a threat to the enemy. Amen. There's a group of people that came to one time. They decided they'd do miracles in the name of Jesus. And they were false people. The seven sons of Sceva. I don't know who Sceva was, but he wasn't a very good guy. But he came, and they came and prayed, and they said, we rebuke you, devil, in the Jesus that Paul preaches. And the demon spirit spoke back to him and says, Paul I know, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? But let me tell you something, friend. If you're born again truly of God's Spirit, the devil knows who you are. But he's not out to get, he'd like to tear you up, he'd like to destroy your life. But if you serve the Lord, God wants to save your life. And if you don't serve God, your life will be destroyed anywhere. But if you'll serve the Lord, you'll have eternal life. Praise God, and God will use you, and God will give you power to overcome the enemy. So a spirit-filled believer is a threat to the enemy. The most persecuted people in the world today in Christianity would have to be the believers in North Korea. They are used for forced labor. They're fed very, very little. Most who are captured, and they're captured and sentenced to sentences in prison as because they're Christians. They're fed very little. Most of them lose between 40% and 50% of their body weight within a month. They're made to work, slave labor, but most eventually starve to death. Amen. Tell me, you and I have got it real rough, don't we? We don't know what persecution is. We may learn. But the American church had better pray through, because we may face the greatest opposition and persecution this country has ever known. Here we are, probably on the brink of the coming of the Lord. Things may get tough. I don't know if the economy will stay right forever. It doesn't matter what the economy does, but it does matter what you do with Christ. We must live for God. We must work with God. We must settle it in our mind. I'm going to walk this walk. I'm going to live this life. Amen. If the world falls apart and everybody dies and goes to hell, I'm going to live for God and go to heaven. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to serve Him. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. My friend, we didn't start this race to give up somewhere along the way. We took on this race to finish it. We took it on this living for Jesus to make it a lifetime. Walk in fellowship with God. Glory to God. Prayer for boldness. Grant, Lord, that your servants would have boldness to speak your word. Not to hide in a corner somewhere because somebody might see you or might hear you. No, grant with boldness we may speak your word. Stretching out your hand to heal. We're praying for signs and miracles and wonders. Yes, I want that today too. Praise God. Prayer for boldness, not for deliverance from opposition. They didn't ever pray, God, help us, Lord, would you give us a less offensive message? Let's pet these people along so we'll have more people in our church. Let's tell them they're good the way they are. No. Word of God says, crucify the flesh. That means the carnal, sinful nature. The part of you that wants to do evil, crucify it. Let it be instead, let us be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunken with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. The church had great prayer. Verse 31, 4 and 31. Now the multitude of those who believed were one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say anything he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Great graces upon them all. We find here that God, not only did they have great boldness, but they had great power. You shall receive power. And with great power, they stood and preached, gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Amen. They left nothing unsaid about the gospel of Christ. They didn't try to keep from offending people. They had already offended them all anyway. They had to tell the truth. And Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He rose up and preached, and Peter preached a message that was bold and powerful. Amen. He stood up, he said, this Jesus who you crucified and put in the grave, God has raised him up. And he back, you can read in the second chapter of Acts where Peter preached a powerful message. At the end of his message, people weren't trying to see who could be number one to get to join the church. They were saying, we need Christ, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, to your children, to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What God gave to the early church, he intended to keep giving until the time that he comes again. Your children, your children's children, all need this powerful fullness of the Spirit, because it's the power of God for people to be saved. It's the power of Pentecost. And I thank God for that, the power of Pentecost. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you.